What's up, everyone? I'm Bianca Torres, and I'm here with Apartment 5H. I'm joined by fellow neighbor from 4H, Jim.
Nah, what up, what up?
He's back. And today we have a special guest. We have Don Tripp in the building.
Indeed. Yeah.
Thanks for pulling up.
Oh, indeed.
How are you feeling today?
It's a pleasure. I feel the same way every day.
What's that?
I'm just grateful to be present. You know, I could be in the ground, I could be in a cage. I am in neither, so I'm good.
I hear you. Especially lately, there's a lot going on in the world.
Yeah, that too. And shit, at my age, they say jail is for younger men. So, you know, being 40 with a prison sentence ain't a delightful thing either. So, you know, being alive is more than enough for me.
I hear you. I feel like we all feel like that, right? Now we're going through this hurricane in Florida. You know, prayers go out to everyone in Florida.
That's horrible.
We have this election. It's just a lot. We have the wars. It's just a lot. So every day above ground is a good day.
Blessing.
Indeed.
It is a blessing. And you've been hard at work the last 2 years. Indeed. So we were just talking about how you're the patriarch of your family, right? Because we were talking about how Self has all this stuff around us. Dolls and chips and nostalgia. I mean, it's cool, but it's a lot. And you were saying that your mom actually has this mount, but it's for you.
Yeah, she, she cherishes it. You know, she got, like I said, she got everything. She got the albums the world never saw. All the mixtapes, like she got every kind of memorabilia you could have. If there was a, you know, how they got like a, how they got like sections in museums that you know, honor certain people. And, you know, she had living rooms like that's like a whole section that just honors me. And, you know, that's something I'm very proud of, something I appreciate.
And you were saying something about the way you were brought up and made you a patriot.
Well, I grew up, all my elders were addicts. And what's great about that now, for the most part, how many is it? It's my auntie, my uncle. I say my family tree is kind of complex. So my auntie is really my great auntie. Okay. And I got one, actually, I don't know I got one uncle and then great uncles. Either way, growing up, they were all addicts, and you know that's not something I'm proud of. That's not something they're ashamed of, and that's why I can be comfortable speaking about it. But now, since I had my first son, might have been a year or two before I had my first son, but majority of my aunties and uncles, really my auntie and two of my uncles, now two of my uncles. Either way, they've been sober since. So for like the last maybe 16 years, my auntie and my uncle have been sober. So my children have never seen they've never met the version of them that I grew up with. They get a make me a little emotional.
Uh-huh.
But they get a pure version of them, a more, I won't say healed, because, you know, it should take a lifetime to heal from some things, and they've been through some shit. So I ain't saying none of this just to say, you know, or to speak down on them, to speak ill of them. I think everything they've been through, I learned from, even though I wasn't present. But my kids get to see a version of them and love a version of them that I didn't get to see until I was an adult, and that's why I can appreciate it. I didn't much like being around them as I got older, seeing what I had seen growing up. And as they became more and more sober, that shit just made me so proud. And the shit they been through, no, you good. The shit that they been through, I can't imagine going through. Even though I've been through my own share of shit, like, you know, I understand it, I get it. And whenever I see certain things, I have to, I don't know no other way than to step back and assess it. Like, it's easy to see an addict and say, oh my God, you threw your life away. But how did it get there? Like, I don't ask these questions, but throughout my life, you know, addicts have the tendency of telling you the same stories over and over again. And as a child, you get so used to these stories that you start to ignore them, or, you know, you don't even hear this shit go in one ear and out the other. I don't know why, but I've always been the kind of person I want to understand it, because I don't get it, and I don't do any substances. So, you know, I wanted to understand it, and as time progressed, I started taking the pieces of these stories and putting them together. And then I started, like, you know, correlating them from the aunt and uncle I'm referring to are brother and sister. So that alone tells you something, you know, there was something going on for them both to end up in such turmoil. And for them both to be healthy now, like they helped each other, you know, become clean and sober. And, you know, I started putting the stories together. Like, you know, the story from you, then the story from you. And, you know, I started putting timelines together. I'm like, well, shit, you know, y'all experience. Because, you know, they don't sit and tell you, hey, I've been through this, this, and this.
Right.
You know, we condition as people, to, you know, especially when you the provider or you, the, you know, you the patriarch at that point. You got to hold that shit in. You got to tough it out. And the world, not only the world, but, you know, the people around you don't understand what you went through. And especially with it being, like I said, it's my great auntie and uncle. So, you know, the time between them being children and me being a child is so very far, in, you know, in between. So there's no way I would have known what happened had I not known, you know, had I not sat and listened. And from being able to understand the shit that they've been through to see them overcome it now. And sobriety is not an easy task, especially for an addict. You know, for me, my whole life, you know, I've had to deal with peer pressure. I'm fortunate enough to never have fallen victim to peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I just never really much cared about what people thought of me. You know, if y'all doing it, that's cool. And you can do it. And I don't shun you. You know, we ain't going to not kick it because you do it. It only gets to that when it's extreme. When it's stuff you do, I just can't condone.
Right.
And even then, I can't tell you how to live. I got no judgment towards you. That's how you living, you know, so be it. I don't know what you're going through. If I don't know something, you know, even when it comes to siblings, you know, we don't spend 24 hours together, especially, you know, once you're a certain age. So I don't know what you've experienced. I think I hit the mic. But either way, you know, it could be something you physically experienced. It could be something you're mentally experiencing. You know, it could be just a way you're feeling that, you know, you may just misinterpreted something and it bothers you. And again, you know, we conditioned, especially in my household, as a man, when I was a boy, and I told my mama how I felt, mama called me a pussy. I don't know if I can cuss on her.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, no, that's how I was, that's how she responded to that. And I ain't have a father, so I had nobody to vent to, so I had to vent to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So as a father, that's the first thing I teach my children. And, you know, you can express your feelings to me. I'm not going to pamper you. But at the same token, I'm not going, you know, what they call it, shit, gaslight or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to make you feel like your feelings don't matter, because they do matter. Just because mm-hmm. you're a child don't mean you're not a person. You're still a human being. And now I had to learn that the hard way. So, you know, my aunt and uncle growing up, you know, they were in the same environment, so to speak, as far as being able to be open and to share. Now, this is a time when you say something happened to you. If you tell an adult, or you tell your mama that an adult did something to you, your mama say, get the hell out of here, you're lying. In real life, you know, that's the first person you should be listening to, is the child.
Right.
And again, this ain't to nothing. I'm not taking a knock at my grandmama.
Mm-hmm.
The times were what the times were. But for them, it's extremely difficult to remain sober. You got to consider that their world is still what their world is. Imagine how many things, how many people you got to disassociate yourself with or from, because you want to remain healthy.
Right.
You know, the smallest things might, you know, like you might, your favorite team won the ball game and you just wanted a beer. Well, at least that's how you used to be. You
right.
used to want a beer. So now you got to find shit to substitute that with. You know, now you drink grapefruit juice excessively or some shit.
Right.
But, you know, that's what I mean. Like, you have to, that's a tough task. And we all have trying days. So what happens on the day that, you know, this day was so tough, even if all that happened today was, you know, recollection. You might sat and something popped up on it. Like, you know, people that still watch what they, well, shit, we all do. We all watch what we grew up watching. I see you got the Martin thing right here. Somebody still watches Martin. That shit don't come on no more. You know, our elders are the same way. They sit and watch them fucking black and white movies, and my auntie called it the Cartwrights. What's called Bonanza. Said, yeah. That's what I mean. She sit and watch that kind of shit, and you know, you never know, something in that might have triggered a memory. You know, she might remember when this episode aired, or you know, this episode was playing when something happened in her life. Mm-hmm. And right now, you might, you know, we don't know it because we're not in her head, but you don't know. She, you know, right now she's fighting the urge to want to get high because it just triggered a memory in her head that fucks with her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's shit that happens as we grow up that, you know, those incidents happen that remind her of it, or incidents happen that you know, trigger your defense mechanism. Right. You know, you want now this certain child you keep closer to you, and we don't know why. Growing up, we just assume that's your favorite, but in real life, you saw something occur, and you knew that this child needed to be protected more than the others needed to be protected.
Right.
But either way, I had to learn that. Like, you know, I didn't look at, as a child, I looked at them like they was addicts, like, you know, junkies and alcoholics. And then as I grew older, I had to, you know, I'm like, why? There's a reason for this. It's a cause and effect. Of course, you know, we talked that when we were kids. I'm like, something led to this. And I still got uncles that, you know, their life still ain't together, but that ain't my place to say when you should get it together.
Right.
That's all on you, because, you know, you got to put your own pants on in the morning, not me. But either way, from seeing that shit, you know, it's a delight for me. Like, it made me proud of them. And I've learned, you know, I don't know when I learned it, but as of late, I've learned to not say what I feel. So, you know, if something happens, like, I got an uncle now who's been an alcoholic all my life, and for like the last 2 months, he's been clean and sober. And when I found this out, I waited about 2 weeks before I called him, because the last thing I want to do, I've learned from experience, last thing I want to do is congratulate you, because what you're doing ain't a feat, you know, to you at least. You know, what you're doing is work. That shit take every day. Shit's hard. Mm-hmm. So the last thing I wanted to do was make light of it. I want to make it like, you know, I don't want to make the situation feel smaller than it is. And, you know, it's easy to say congratulations, and then, you know, I'm going to go on about my day, but you still, you know, that's a constant battle for you.
Right.
So I waited a minute, and then one day I looked up, I'm like, damn, you know, I meant to call him last week. So I just said, fuck it, I'm going to call him now. And that's what I try to do now, instead of, you know, fuck waiting till later on. You might not get it later on. So I called him then, and I don't call him. I'm calling because he's up until now. He's always drunk, so the conversation don't really make much sense.
Right.
I answer when he called, but I answer all calls. And when he called, once I find out he's drunk, you know, I'm going to let him talk for a second, then I'm going to get him off the phone. So this particular day, I called him, and when he answered, he was shocked. He's like, nephew. I'm like, yeah, what's up, Unc? You know, so-and-so told me, you know, about the journey you're taking. And he was... Basically, I called and tell him I was proud of him. And I understand I may not be able to relate to the battle that you're taking right now, but I understand. And I'm proud of you for even trying, because to even try is a tough task.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know this shit, that's all you ever really known. And when I called him, shit, we both ended up crying. And he was like, man, you know, it started when I was a child. My mama was, you know, I knew this, but, you know, like, my mama was an alcoholic. Becoming that shit was like hereditary. So, you know, for Noah, we on the phone for like 30 minutes, and, you know, we both crying. He telling me how proud of me he is, and I'm telling him the same. Like, you know, you may not see what you're doing as an accomplishment in my eyes, but in real time it is. And like I told them, you know, for my kids to see a healthy you, that means everything to me, because you are, you know, these are the people that I love. And, so, you know, so for my kids to be able to love these people the same way, especially with them being, well, technically with them being great aunts and uncles, you know, our time on this planet is as limited as it can be. You don't know if your tomorrow is tomorrow or today. So, you know, with that, you know, I try my best to appreciate the people around me as much as I can, and as out loud as I can. Because a lot of times, even for me, like, you know, that as, you know, it, a moment in my life I needed it. I needed to hear that somebody was proud of me. And for a long time, I just wanted to hear it from my mama. I never really heard it from my mama. But I had to learn that even if she's not, or even if maybe she is, and she just don't know how to say it. Right. We all were raised differently. And for my mama, she had it tough too. And a lot of times I think when it comes to that kind of shit, even when it's in my music, a lot of times they listen to, like, of course I won't say all of them not, but you know, my elders in my family not avid listeners of my music. They hear songs when they hear them. So that means they don't hear everything. Right. So they might hear this one song, and it's rap music, and they grew up on Teddy Pendergrass. So, you know, this shit's hard to retain for them. So they hear bits and pieces. And a lot of times they hear pieces that stick out, but it stick out the wrong way. So they might hear a song that say, like I just said, you know, all my folks were addicts. And they like, damn, but, you know, we're doing better now. You didn't hear the song that says the opposite. You don't hear the song that says I'm proud, because I don't make the music then just go say, hey, ain't you, you know, listen to this song. That's kind of cringy for me. But either way, with that, I think sometimes what happens, they look at the name. You know, we all do it, I guess, because, you know, even like on, you know, on your the internet, on your social media, the negative comment is always going to glow in the dark.
Right.
You know, you might see a million positive ones, and then that one negative might hit a nerve. You're like, you know, I'm doing so great. Why, you know, why you keep finding a way to pick at me? And sometimes that happens in real life. You ain't really picking. You just, you know, it's just that's a sore spot to that person too. And, you know, like, I think, like, right now, me and my mama, we haven't spoken. We're not on the same wavelength in any shape, form, or fashion. And I think that's partially because she assumes that I see her a different way because I understand I won't say everything. I'm sure it's things she's been through that I don't know anything about. But I think she see it. That's how she look at it. She look at it like, if I say we was broke, she take that like she ain't do everything she could do.
Right.
But in real time, I know better. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying we was broke because my mama was lazy. I'm saying we was broke because no matter what my mama did, the circumstances were still, you know, the cards were stacked against her. Right. And I think sometimes, you know, it's kind of hard to see the positive when the negative's a sore spot for you already. And I think that's, you know, I think that's part of our disconnect. And I think that she was raised the way she was raised, so she raised me the way she was raised.
Right.
And I use as a tool to not do the same to my kids. Not to say she did it wrong. There ain't no real way to know how to do this shit, especially when you're raising kids. Because, you know, the first year of having a child, you know, you're getting used to, like, diapers and shit. And then, you know, second year, you're trying to baby-proof your house. Because, you know, because they're walking.
Yeah.
Right. Then, by the third or fourth year, you got to start watching how you talk, because they start repeating. They don't say they don't say table, but they'll say shit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, by the fourth year, now you're trying to teach the child how to, you know, acclimate and get ready to start being in school.
And be in society.
Right. But you get what I'm saying? That's, yeah. People think that parenthood, once you step in it, you got it. You don't got it, because it keeps changing.
And you're human. You're still human.
Exactly. And, you know, people again, forget there's that. No fucking, they got a lot of books. Everybody writes a book, but nobody's a true expert on how to raise a child.
Right, right.
And every child is different. This one child, I might not have to tell her to stop drawing on the damn wall. That ain't, you know, they don't even pop in her head. But this one is drawing on the wall, so what do I do? Do I keep popping her for drawing on the wall? Do I keep putting her in a corner because she's drawing on the wall?
Right.
No, I go and buy what they call it, an easel. Bought an easel.
Draw an easel.
Right, now you got something to draw. And, you know, it's got that little roll of paper thing on it. So you can, you want to draw? Here you go. This is where you draw.
That's the real solution,
right? This is the proper place to draw.
Right.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. These are things that we weren't taught when we were growing up. The
right.
way I was taught.
We didn't have choices when we were growing up.
No, you didn't have options at all.
We didn't have options.
Nobody said, hey,
our parents didn't ask, how do you feel about this situation?
No, no,
like,
no.
This is the situation,
what
and that's saying, that.
Children are supposed to be seen and not heard.
Right.
So, you know, I take those kind of things as a parent, and, you know, I implement that. Like, you know, the last thing I want to do is raise my kids the way I was raised. Now, of course, there are some great moments from, you know, me, you know, from my upbringing, And I try to instill that, but at the same token, I try not to put the small things that fucked me up.
Right.
And I think a lot of that shit happened, you know, it always happens, even from my elders, that just never had the space to say it or stop it. Mm-hmm. And I'm fortunate enough to be in a position where I'm not broke. I'm not struggling to survive. So, you know, I have the means to actually take care of my children and give them a different environment to grow up in. My kids ain't never been to the ghetto. They don't know nothing about living mm-hmm. in the project. They don't know what a Section 8 is. Mm. And, you know, like that's a goal for me. And again, there's no kind of knock or discredit to any of the people that raised me. Because I feel like if I didn't grow up the way I grew up, I wouldn't be who I am.
Right.
And
absolutely.
You know, same ball. Like, I don't know where I heard it at, but it was like, it said, I don't know what verbatim, but basically it was like, you know, one generation goes through some shit. That generation builds the man that changes the lives of the people in his family. And then that person makes it too easy for the next generation. And that generation ends up fucking it all up for the next generation. And that generation ends up being the one back in poverty. So that was the chain in my head. That's the chain I want to break. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want my kids to be able to have a better, you know, a better life or a better upbringing than I had. But at the same token, I don't want it so easy that you don't appreciate what you have.
Right.
No, that's that's an everyday battle. That's not, you know, I can't just say, hey, you got to value your money. Hey, you know, this shit costs money. You got to appreciate it. That's something you got to instill, that shit. That's a day-to-day battle itself. Because my kids, you know, everything costs money. And they learning that now as they get older. Because everything they like even on them, you know, their iPads and they Nintendo Switch.
All this technology, yeah.
Right. It's everything costs. And, you know, so now I had to teach my kids that now what I'm teaching them is tax. Like, you know, my daughter... And I got the shit on Apple where it's got like, as a parent, I had to approve the apps. So when they request approval, you know, my daughter, she's 12. She'll send me $1 because the app that she want is $1.99. I'm like, no, sweetheart, that's like $3. You need to understand that you're sending me a portion of what your app really costs. Right. So if you want this app, you need to send $3. Now, in real life, I can't do shit with $3.
No, and, but it's, you know, the principle. I'm gonna end it's up important.
Giving it back to her, but that's the point, right?
It's important.
Because at some point, you're going to get old enough, you're going to want to go in the store. Well, she's old enough now, but when you go in the store and that price tag say $1.99, when you get to the counter, you need to be expecting to be paying much more than that.
Maybe $2.05. Right,
that dollar ain't going to do it. You're right. So, you know, but that's what I mean when I say that. Like, that's a ongoing lesson. That's not something you just learn. Shit, it took me damn near 30 years to value it. And it's different for them than me because nothing was given to me. And that's the battle. You know, I try not to give it to them, if that makes sense. Like, even if it's, you know, small things. You want the so-and-so, then all right, well, y'all going to have to make sure every room is clean this entire week. I shouldn't have to tell you to clean anything. If you want the video game, it costs $80.
Right.
And, you know, again, you know, the 80 doesn't do anything for me. But at least, you know, I feel like those small pieces is what build the piece. And shit, now I got a daughter so whenever she come over, she start washing clothes. And she's 13. And I'm like, man, you know, we call her the mama. And I had to teach her that even though she's more responsible than the rest of them, you're not their mama. And you can't talk to them like they're your children. They still your siblings. And you don't have any authority. You're just a child. Same way they're children. Just because you're more responsible, that don't make you superior.
Yeah, it's easy to blur the lines.
Right.
Because I'm an older sister and that used to happen to me.
But that's what I'm saying. Again, like I said, the, you know, parenting is, you know, that shit just, it changes. Whenever you think you've accomplished it, you got it. It switch up on you, and that's a new thing. And you know, now I got teenage girls, and the internet exists. So that's a whole other world. And you know, all of that, like I said, I think one, all of that is who makes me who I am, and that's what I keep into perspective. That everything I do is building them. and they, you know, they soak up from, you know, people assume that your parents are who raised you. And you know how they say it take a village to raise a child. Problem is, now you're a village, you got to include the internet into your village. Right. Because it's there, whether you want it to be there or not.
Or the village minds their business, because now we grow up in a day and age where people is like, they mind their business, they don't get involved.
Exactly, like, not everybody's in your business. And
they're in this business. When it comes to like in person, right, they'll record some shit, but they won't do anything about it. Exactly. But when it comes to here, they're in your business. You know?
But that's what I mean. You know, like that's an aspect that didn't exist when we was growing
right
up. I didn't have to worry about that. I think I said that a minute ago. Like, you know, if I had a fight at school, that fight, you know, it lasts for as long as my suspension is. Now, that shit's permanent. Right. They bring that shit up, you know, a year later. And, you know, people would be like,
this a year ago.
Right. They'd be like, you know, this lived rent-free in my head. That goes, the fight where you got a black eye is back on the internet again. And, you know, those are the kind of things that I had to do. You know, I don't know how you deal with that. So I got to learn before I can teach it.
Right.
And, you know, so all that shit is kind of, you know, like I said a second ago, was that's how I look at life. Like every day, I'm, you know, you got to adjust, you got to adapt, and, you know, you get some curveballs, and, you know, it just is what it is.
I want to bring it back to, like, because there's a balance, right? When you grow up, you know, I didn't grow up in a perfect environment. Probably a lot of people haven't.
Right.
So it's kind of like when you get older, right, you start piecing together your family's like history, and you're like, oh, this is why they did this, or this is why they were acting like this when I was little.
Exactly.
And you get older and you understand it, and you even forgive, and you know, you build this new relationship.
But it
doesn't take away from your experience. And sometimes, because even I feel you, like you'll bring up a situation and it's like, you don't mean to make them feel bad, but this is your reality.
Right,
like, you experienced it. I'm not blaming you now. I understand why you acted this way, or you did this, but that doesn't take away from my experience. Like, this happened, and as a result, maybe there were certain situations that occurred with me, because it's a trickle effect.
Exactly.
So it doesn't mean that you don't forgive your family, because I feel like that's what you were trying to get at. It doesn't mean that you don't forgive them,
right,
and you're not happy to have them a part of your life, but it doesn't take away from your experience.
Exactly. Right? And I think that's the... And I can't force a person to, well, none of us can. I can't force you to learn because I'm learning.
Right.
But that's part of it. I have to accept the fact that, you know, how you are, you know, there are instances. There's a reason why you are how you are. And other things affected you. And you got to understand, or you got to make your peace with the fact that all those things that affected you affected me because of how it affected you.
Right.
So, you know, we both got to make our peace with that. And I try not to come off. I don't judge anybody anyway, but I try not to come off judgmental, because, you know, a lot of times that's what happens. You'll think I feel the kind of way about you because of what you've been through. But, you know, I understand your life was your life. I don't know what you experienced. So, like, we could all walk out of this room and one of us trip over a cord and the rest of us didn't, but you just experienced something that the rest of us didn't experience. That's just how the world works. So, you know, I couldn't dare say you're supposed to be one way, or you shouldn't be the way you are, because I don't know what turns you into that. And shit, my prime example, me and my brother were raised together. Everything every aspect of me, of our childhood was together, but I don't know what he experienced when he wasn't with me.
Right.
Especially once we became old enough to go and do our own things. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened to you yesterday. You know, when we became adults, you know, we didn't speak every day. We didn't see each other every day. And we were brothers, so we love each other. So, you know, when we see each other, you know, we embrace each other. But, you know, I don't hang with him. I don't, you know, my brother did. I don't mean to speak ill of him. I don't really think it's nothing ill to say. My brother used to party. He did drugs, alcohol. You know, he enjoyed himself. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what he did, I wasn't really into. So I couldn't be around for much of what he did. Because, like, you know, I ain't here to judge you.
And that's okay.
But I think a lot of people don't know how to do that. They don't know how to say, all right, you know, y'all for to go out and have drinks. I don't drink. So, you know, y'all go enjoy yourselves. I ain't here. Oh, y'all still in here drinking. That's all y'all do. No, I don't really give a shit. As long as you contain yourself when you're around me, then I'm fine. Now, you know, if it become, you know, you become belligerent, I ain't going to tell you why you're drunk, because that defeats the purpose. Right. But tomorrow, I'm saying, hey, bro, you was tripping. What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, you know, that's the cup, you know, it's the 34th time you've done that while you was high or you was drunk or whatever. You need to check that. Now, you know, I can't tell you what to do, but what I can do is if you continue in this behavior, then, right, I got to, and I still love you. But, you know, that's how I grew up, though. I grew up, you know, I would see my uncles if they were sober. I love being around them. The second, the second the high kick in or the drunkenness kick in, then I want to be around. And as a kid, I didn't have a choice. You know, this is just where I'm at. I can't leave. I don't run away. You know, back then I used to say we're going to run away with the stick and the picnic.
With the little pouch.
Right. But, you know, shit, where the hell is we going to go? So, you know, once I got old enough to not want to go, I didn't go. But I do the same thing when it comes to friends and, you know, and siblings. You know, if you do shit I ain't really into, then, you know, do your own thing. I don't, you know, I'm not here to tell you what you can and can't do. And again, I don't know what battle you're facing. And I would love for, you know, we could sit down and discuss it. But even then, I can't make you be ready to do that. And just because I'm open and understanding don't mean that you are. And the thing you might be the most judgmental about is your own shit. You know, I ain't worried that we're going to sit down and you ain't going to like what I got to say about me or how I feel. Sometimes it's you that you know, the person that you got to deal with. And some of us ain't ready to deal with ourselves. So, you know, I don't go into all of that. I just know how to, to keep my distance when I need to and not become alienated while doing it. You know, like I ain't, you know. We ain't kicking it because you're drinking. I mean, we ain't kicking it while you're drinking, but not because you're drinking, if that make any sense. So, you know, I ain't saying nobody got to live the way I live.
But that's okay. They have to. But I think that in retrospect, because you're understanding that this is what you do,
they have to understand
you too.
Yeah, that's the only way we merge. And when that's not a mutual thing, then that's when our disassociation become a disconnection.
Yeah.
Like, we ain't rocking no more because, you know, you feel like...
You can't always be the one understanding everyone else and no one
right.
Understanding. No, I
can't ever be. It's got to always be a two-way street. And if it's not a two-way street, then it's a dead end. And, you know, we ain't rocking. If that's what it is, then so be it. I feel like the most important person outside of, you know, as a father, my children are the most important people on the planet to me. But the most important person for me to protect is me. Because if I don't protect me, how do I protect my children?
Self-preservation.
Right. So, you know.
And who's going to protect you also?
That's what I mean. Right. If I don't do it, then, you know, then that eliminates me. And if I'm not present, who takes care of them? Of course, their mothers would take care of them. But, you know, no, there's nothing like having a father. Same as there's nothing, you know, I'm not taking any credit from them. I know I'm going to get attacked for this at home. I'm not taking any credit from mothers. But I think you need both. And me not having a father, even though I learned how to adapt without one, don't mean that I didn't need one.
That's right.
I just learned how to survive without it.
Did you have any male figures that helped you out coming up?
I had to learn from the uncles that, you know, I had to take pieces from it. I see what to do and what not to do. I see more of what not to do than what to do. But, you know, I just had to, that had to be, no, my lesson. I had to learn from them in that manner. Like, they taught me things that, like, street shit, you know, they definitely taught me the street shit.
The safe place you could talk about.
But they didn't teach me how to be a man. They didn't teach me how to be responsible. And that's not their fault. That was my father's fault. My daddy was supposed to teach me this, not my uncles. My uncles were supposed to be teaching their sons this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even that, like, I understand that. Like we were saying a second ago, you know, I don't want my daughter to think that she's supposed to be the parent. She's not the parent. My children got both parents. May not be in the same household, but they got both parents. So, you know, even that, I don't blame my uncles for not raising me because that wasn't their job. They was living their lives. They didn't make me. You know, I was their nephew. They loved me. They embraced me. And in no shape, form, or fashion did they mistreat me. But
they're not your father.
Exactly. That wasn't their job. Yeah. So I didn't have that. And I didn't understand how important that was because it didn't exist. I didn't even understand it. So as I got older to start seeing, like, I got friends whose fathers were in their lives. I got some that haven't, but I got some mm-hmm. who had a dad. The whole time I've known them, they had a dad. And you know, that shit was like, it was mysterious to me. I'm like, damn, I ain't, you know, that's kind of cool. Okay, I ain't know. I don't got nobody to go teach me how to put condoms on and shit. I don't know, you know, I ain't had that space. Mm-hmm. So seeing it, it gave me a different, this is, you know, before I became a father, but it gave me a different value for a father. I had no value for one. I had never seen one. I don't know how that is. So, you know, as I started seeing other people and then start, you know, I got friends that start having kids before me and to see, you know, how much that changes your life. And then having children, like, you know, I don't know how it does it or when it does it, but it just do, it, you know, a switch click and you got to become a different kind of person because you got to fend for another person now. And, you know, all of that, I learned from all of that. I didn't, you know, the male figures I had weren't ideal. I'll say that. So, like I said, I learned from the mistakes more than I made, more than I learned from the successes. Like, I don't have, I don't have any role models that aren't vicarious. Like, you know, my role models became, you know, musicians. And, my musicians became my role models. I say that. So, you know, I was raised by the music I was listening to. And even with that, like I say, you know, my elders taught me, they taught me a lot. I wouldn't dare say they didn't teach me anything. And I won't say they didn't raise me. It just was, you know, it was things that as I got older, being a male and being a black man, it's certain shit that I should have known or should have been taught that I wasn't taught. And, you know, I had to learn it because how do I teach it to my son if I don't know it? And in a lot of cases, like I said, I was expressing my feelings to my mama. And my mom was like, you a pussy. Yeah. But she ain't know no other way.
Right. She was trying to toughen you up probably in her head.
Right. But how would she know how to raise a man? How the hell I'm going to turn him into a man and I'm a woman? So, I, you know, then that bothered me. That, you know, and of course it still stick with me now because I was a child when this happened. But she didn't know no other way. And that's how I approach it now. Like, you know, it's got to be another way. Yeah, I may not know another way, but it's got to be another way. So I try to find another way. And, you know,
looks like you have so far.
Well, yeah, you know, so far so good. But I think, like I said, that's because I learned from the errors. You know, all the shit I seen that I didn't like, I didn't sit and just say, oh, I don't like that. I said, you know, I'm going to make sure that I don't continue that. That's the last thing I want to do. Like, I cuss, but I don't cuss at my kids. I cuss to my kids, I guess you would say that.
There's a difference.
It's a big difference.
It's a big difference.
Big difference.
And I don't yell at them. Like, you know, these are the things that's how I grew up. My mama, that's the only way she knew how to talk. I was amazed that she wasn't hoarse every day. But that's only, you know, she only knew how to scream. And she only knew how to cuss us out. So, and again, I'm not taking no shots at them. That's the only way she knew.
This is your experience, though.
Right, of course.
Yeah,
but, experience. You know, that's how I am with my kids. And, you know, that's the last thing I want to do. The last thing I want to do is make them feel the way I felt when it was occurring. And like I said, still some great attributes from my mama, you know, from raising me, that I implement. But, you know, some of the things that I experienced that left a mark on me, I try to make sure that I avoid that when it comes to raising my own. And I got 8 kids, so it's tricky.
8?
Yeah.
Oh, you were busy these last few years.
Well, I got 6 biological children. And I got 2 children from I guess previous relationships. Those mothers already had a child, mm-hmm. and then we had a child.
Okay.
So for those 2 children, I'm basically the only father they knew. And you know, it is what it is. Just because we're not together no more, I couldn't dare. I don't know how to say you're not my child no more. You was my child for the 3 or 4 years then. How do I switch it now? How do I not call you and say happy birthday? What do I say when you call me dad? Hey, I'm not your dad now. Don't say that no more.
I mean, some people do, but like,
yeah, some people
that's commendable
do,
of you.
But I couldn't. I don't know how to do it. I didn't have a dad. And if I'm the only thing, you know, the only father you know, to remove me from your, for me to remove me from your life, I'd be removing the only father you got.
Right.
And if that's what this is, then so be it. I take that. I'm fine with that.
See, some people do, like, what you experience in your childhood, it goes either way, right? You either do everything you can to do the complete opposite of what you experienced, or you do go you can the same it. Shit yeah. and you go down the same path. Uh-huh. Have you spoken to like a therapist? Like, how have you gotten through? Because it's kind of like childhood trauma, right? Like, we all have it.
I guess you would call how it have childhood
you dealt,
trauma.
How have you dealt with that?
No, I don't see no therapist. I don't know. I guess the music is the therapy for me. And
he got a record, Letter to My Son. That shit got me through all kind of... I used to put my baby mother in the car. Everything I wanted to say, he said it for me. I turned up and just ride. She like, that's oh, you trying man. To talk to me?
Well, I think
stupid bitch, I just want to sit in my chair.
Somewhere in my life, I learned how to channel it, I guess, to let all the shit that I've been through come out in the music and not come out in my real life. It was tough for a long time, like, you know, been in a lot of fights, and some of them were uncalled for. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, I ain't know how no other way to respond like to certain anger. Things. Well, definitely that too. But sometimes people say things that they don't understand the value of, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, you know, growing up, and when we was growing up, the thing to check each other, I don't know what y'all call it in New York, in Memphis you call it checking.
Yeah,
when
we
you
do.
Talk about each other, somewhere they call it like shooting the dozens or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
All right, well, you know, when we was kids, the number one thing to say to check somebody was, your mama a crackhead.
Oh, that was big in the 90s, especially.
Except my auntie is a crackhead. So you insulted me and you don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Except I don't know how to tell you, you just insulted me other than
punch you in your mouth.
Violence. Yeah. Right. And the way we were raised, it was a few of us, might have been about 12 of us, but we were taught come one, come all. Like we learned the lesson very fast. One day we was outside, like I said, it's a lot of us. We left my only had one biological brother. He was my older brother. We're outside and he got to fighting with somebody and we let them fight. We children. We let them fight. And we, you know, we come in the house and we talking about this fight and my auntie come in. I spent a lot of time in my life with my auntie. So, you know, even though she was an addict, that's where all the family members dropped their children off. Right, so, you know, so that's how we grew up. That's a lot of times when I say my brother and my sister, I'm referring to my cousins. We grew up in the same space, and this house wasn't big enough for all of us. So we all grew up sleeping in the same bed or on the floor, and we all got to make pallets. Like, that's how we came up. So, you know, we in here talking about the fight, and, you know, we discussing it. And my auntie came in, she was like, who's out there fighting? Of course, we all threw him under the bus immediately. Oh, Rick. She was like, he's out there fighting who? We named the person. And then she went and got the switch. She, you know, saw a gazillion switches because, you know, after beating one person with a switch, you're going to need a new one. And she whooped all our ass except Rick. It was confused.
Help.
Right. So when she got through whooping our ass, everybody's in here whimpering. And she came back and said, do y'all know why y'all got your ass whooped? And we like, no, we have no idea why we just got away. He didn't. She said he was out there fighting and y'all let him fight by himself. She was the whole world ready to kick your ass and y'all gonna help him? She said, it's a fight. Ain't, you know, we ain't talking about fair fight. She said, where? Was a referee outside. I'm like, hell no, no referee out there. She said, ain't no such thing as a fair fight. You supposed to help your people. That just is what it is. So we learned that fast. After that, we probably exploited it. You got to, you know, you upset me, and when this happened, it's gonna be what Drake said, 20-20 v 1. I was guaranteed. And you know, I think at some point I had to learn as we got older, that became more dangerous. Cause you know, as kids living like that, it's only a certain amount of violence going to come from that. Then you know, you get older, we become teens, and we're like 19 and 20. You know, now 20 year olds stomping you out, you might die. So you know, yeah, now I gotta be the level head. I gotta say, let's try to defuse this. Cause if it go there, we're gonna jump you. And we might kill you. A couple of us are bigger than each other. Like, you know, he might be younger than me, but he 2 times bigger than me. This might go all the way left. We'll all end up with murder charges because we stumped you out because you bumped into him. You know, that's just, you know, it didn't take much for us to, for us to go there. Mm-hmm. But at some point I had to like start trying to diffuse it because, you know, it was getting out of hand. And society was, we at a point right now you can't have a fist fight. It's going to lead to a gunfight, no matter how you spin it. It's going to end up leading to gunfire. And if that's the case, I don't want to be the cause of it. Or I don't want us to be the cause of it. So I have to, you know, do what I can to prevent it. And that's the other thing. Like, even though I'm, you know, pretty knowledgeable when it comes to firearms, if every person in this room pull a gun out when some shit hit the fan, that not only increases the chance that one of us makes the mistake and fires and hit a person that ain't got nothing to do with it, it's enough of us in here that we will fuck around and put each other in danger from each other having guns. If you point your gun that way, you don't know where I'm pointing because I'm behind you. You could move while I'm shooting. I'd have shot you. So we've been through a lot of shit. But either way, those kind of things, like I had to learn how to level down, if that makes sense. I had to learn how to channel it because in a lot of instances, I was the only level head. And if I hadn't been present, shit would have went totally, like it would have been unrecoupable. We wouldn't have been able to make it back from the shit that we would have got ourselves into. And it's easy to say, you know, especially as a black man, you got to be ready to go. It's fight or flight. And sometimes we'd be so determined to make sure that we don't look like bitches in the situation, right, that you wind up with a prison sentence because, you know, he was just trying to make sure the nigga knew not to play with me. And in real life, you could have diffused that and woke up in your own bed in the morning. And that's how I had to look at it. Like, you know, it's people at some point, like a Southern patriarch, I had to realize that none of us had the father figured out. You know, same way I didn't have it, they didn't have it. Same way my uncles were addicts, that was their uncles too. Right. And now they looking up to me. Now they following my lead. Like Jay-Z say, if I would have grew up to be a doctor, my nephews would have grew up to do the same. Right. So, you know, I'm looking like I had to reevaluate my own space. I'm like, you know, now I'm the fucking uncle. Even though I'm the brother or the cousin, I'm the uncle now. I'm the you know, even though I wasn't the oldest, I was the most responsible, like I was saying about my daughter. So that's how I had to look. I don't treat them like they my children in no shape, form, or fashion. But I had to realize that they're following us. They're following me and my brother. And we night and day. My brother is what he was because he passed, but he was the complete opposite of what I'm saying I had to become. There was no level head. If she hit the fan, if it's about to hit the fan, he's going to guarantee it hit the fan. And Rick was a true wild card, so it didn't really take much. Like I said, you can bump into one of us, and he took it the wrong. He ain't even the one you bumped into. He took it the wrong way, and now he in your face. When he get in your face, the way we rocking, it's come one, come all. My side is already selected. I ain't never going to pick your side over his in person. Now, when we, get you know, back home, I'm right, like, bro, what the fuck, man? You're doing too much. But I can't do that right here. Right here is us against the world. So when the shit hit the fan, I ain't got no choice. Once, if it's, you know, we men, we know when it's about to get physical. It's like a, you know, it's a boundary. Once they in that certain space, we know this is about to get physical. You either want to kiss or you want to fight. And with that, a lot of the shit we've gotten ourselves into come from that. It come from, you know, shit hit the fan too fast. There was no room for nobody to defuse it. It's already there. Once people start punching, you can't say calm down. It's not reality TV,
right,
where the fight happened and then 15 people come grab each person.
Yeah, there's no one in control.
Right, none whatsoever. And this shit can go all the way wrong because just because it's 20 of us don't mean it ain't 20 of them. You know, it's 20 of us and we family. It's 20 of them and they're a gang. You know, you don't contribute that. You ain't factor that in. You just feel like it's more of us than him. But you don't know him as a them. And right, with that being said, you don't know who are with him. Like, you know, we move around a lot, even as rappers. I had to even learn that. That's why I don't do diss records. Because in that, you know, if you diss me, like, rappers have a tendency of saying, you know, of dissing the people with you. Your niggas never is vicious.
Not one, never done a diss record, not one?
Not since I was like 16.
Okay.
But that's why, because I know how I take it.
But what about that song? Because you have a song called Dedication.
Uh-huh. It's not a diss record.
That's not a diss, but it's kind of, it's different because it, you seem like a forgiving person, like, but on
I'm
Dedication,
not a forgiving
you're, it's talking about holding grudges.
No, I'm not a forgiving person. No shape, form, or fashion.
No?
It's, see, it's so really a different level grudges. of that when it comes to family. The people that raised me, so the things that I would hold against them, so to speak, are on different levels. They not, like, I could be upset with my auntie because when I was younger, she pawned the Sega Genesis. I could be upset about that. I'm not upset about that. I understand it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't. That's not a. Yeah, you don't hold it. Right. I'm not. Me and my auntie ain't about to beef over that. I love my auntie dearly. Her flaws were her flaws. I got flaws too. I'm sure. I broke her dishes, left her house dirty, all kinds of shit. If anything, we even. But that's a different thing. Now, if you my partner and I found out you was DMing my gal.
Okay, so there's different levels of grudges.
We ain't rocking.
Okay, got it.
And no, I'm got not it. Forgiving it. You knew better. I don't care how light you make it. You knew better. That was. It, there's a line. There's a boundary. Now, I've learned not to make everything violent. So, you know, we might not get into a physical altercation about it. I'm going to check you on it. And when I check you on it, that's the end of us rocking because you knew better. You know, I don't give a fuck who raised you or what you didn't know. With men, you knew that that was off limits. If you didn't know that was off limits, that's all the more reason I need to get the fuck from around you. Because what else don't you understand if you didn't understand that? And on top of that, you know, what else are you doing that I didn't, you know, that I haven't caught on to? The last thing I need is a liability. Because again, the way we're rocking is come one, come all. So the last thing I need is you to have me in some shit that I don't deserve to be in. Because, you know, because you don't value me enough. So I got to value right. me. So no, I don't forgive nothing. You know, you did
it's
it.
It's forever. It's be forever.
If we, especially once we're adults, whatever you did, you intended to do. You may not have intended for me to find out, but you intended it, and it was in, you know, it was in your best benefit. Now, I don't think that any person has to put my benefit above theirs, but some things are selfish. If you like my gal so much, well, now I'm married, so it's a whole different thing. But, you know, we'll say, you know, some levels down, just a girl I like. If you like the girl that I'm talking to and we're friends and you don't think that there's a boundary that you shouldn't cross, then we can't be friends. Because in my head, when you bring, you know, if you my partner, my brother, my cousin, and you bring a girl around me, I don't know how I do it. It just happens. But I got tunnel vision. I might have seen her 30 times. I don't really even know what she looked like. She's a blur. I speak to her, I embrace her when we see her. If we call her little sus, she little sus. That is what it is. After you break up with her, she's still invisible to me. That's, I don't know how you really feel about her. And men don't know how to say, yeah, bro, I really loved her. I fucked it up, man. I wish I still had her. Nobody's gonna tell you that. And since you're not gonna tell me that, I ain't gonna create the space where now you see me with her and you really felt the way I just described, but you never said that. You kept the player attitude. Man, fuck them hoes, man. I got plenty of hoes. In real life, you know.
Those be the ones that love them.
Right. In real life, you care about that girl dearly. You probably text her 600 times in the last 2 days. But you ain't going to tell me that. Either way, that's how I look at it. If I crossed that line, I knew the line I was crossing. I may not know how you felt about her, but at some point, y'all were together. So for me, I don't even see her in that line. I can't be attracted to her. Even if she's, I'm not. Not blind, I'm human. I, you know, oh, she attractive. Yeah, okay, good shit, bro. Okay, I can dig it. I'm proud of you. Other than that, you know, I got no interest in your lady. So if ever there's an instance when, you know, we discover or I discover you got interest in my lady and you act on it, then you knew there was a line there and you crossed it. That means you didn't give a fuck about the consequences. And if you didn't, then what happens when it's a bigger thing? When it's something that could cost our lives?
Absolutely.
All you worried about is you. Like, I grew up with people, I know people that's in jail right now, they in jail because they got in the car when so-and-so was going to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He have no intentions of doing anything with him, but he know that's what he for to go do. Man, hop in with me, man. I'm about to pull down on so-and-so. Hop your goof ass right on in, right over there. He jump out, they get the shooting. All right, now I've seen it go both ways. They jump out, get the shooting. Now the passenger's going to jail as an accomplice. Because right. It's a murder. It is what it is. And your dumb ass knew he was going to go do something. You might not have knew he was going to get out and kill that man. Or kill somebody that had nothing to do with it. And I've seen it happen where they, you know, they jump out. You went with your partner. He on some bullshit because so-and-so did something at the club. You don't really know, you know, for all you know, he's telling the truth. You don't really know that he was trying to holler at dude gal. And dude wasn't going, so dude slapped him. And, you know, now you're like, man, so-and-so disrespected me. All you saying, oh, you hell no, we ain't going for that. You hop in the car, you get where you're going, and you the one get killed. Y'all pulled up and, you know, niggas got the misconception that they guns stop other guns from working or something. Right. Right, you jumped out with them pistols and you ain't know that they sitting on the porch with pistols. They might not have been waiting for something to happen. But for all you know, something happened yesterday. For all you know, something happened earlier today. Maybe his vibe, he just feel like, nah, man, you know, I ain't chilling on the porch without my strap. And you done pulled up and jumped out. And they dump on you before you even get one off. They just killed your partner that had nothing to do with this. All because he ain't know how to disassociate himself from you and your bullshit. Now, if you put him in that predicament, you care more about yourself and your own ego than his safety. And when shit like that happened, it was signs before that night. The passenger knew before then that nigga wasn't riding for him. He didn't care about him. You knew that when you went to the club that day and he had enough money to get in, but you didn't. He got in. He went ahead and went in. Right. You knew that when y'all went to Wendy's and you had some money and he didn't have some money, he wanted you to split it and get him something to eat. He ain't do the same. All them shits is signs. He's showing you right here that we ain't tight like you think we are. We not really brothers. We brothers when it's convenient for me. And if that's the case, then like I said, I can't forgive it. You did that shit on purpose. Who you are. That's how you rocking. And if that's how you rocking, I don't want to rock with you. And I'm cool. And as far as diss records, like I said, people, when rappers make diss records, they say, yo, folks, your niggas is bitches. Everybody with you. You with a team full of pussies. All right, when you do that, what you don't know is that Uncle I just was referring to about being an addict, he was in the streets. That's the only life he know. All he know is violence. I may have learned how to tone it down or how to channel it, but he never did.
Especially these younger kids talk about smoking on the op pack. Like, it gets right. very personal.
You get on this record and you just dissed me and the people around me. What you don't realize is one, by dissing me, my uncle who's in the streets, he's very offended. I'm proud of him. What the fuck you mean you're gonna do so-and-so to him? On top of that, you said the nigga, your folks is bitches, your partner's bitch. He like, who the fuck you talking to? These people you still can't call a bitch. Like I said, I learned how to channel it. They haven't.
Right.
So what happens now when you at the gas station and you pumping your gas and there's a man you ain't never seen in your fucking life? You don't know you've been dissing him. Cause you keep saying trip them. You keep dissing the people around me. You don't know you're offending this man. Right. What happens when he pop you? Nobody will ever be able to solve your murder because they will never know who popped you and why. They don't know you dissed me and it's an uncle I ain't seen in 10 years. He just ain't going to let you play by me. Or he ain't going to let you disrespect him. No, like I said, a lot of times you might over evaluate what you got going on. You feel like the whole world knows about you or know what you got going on. You be in a space and you think everybody's laughing at you about whatever happened. But in real life, people don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. When you hit a man's ego, that shit stick. You know, you diss this man and it bruises his ego. Now he feel like the people around him gonna think he a bitch.
Yeah, the ego situation, right.
You never named him, but that's how he feel. That's what he interpreted when he heard that. And now, you created an invisible enemy, and those are the worst kind. The element of surprise is a bitch.
Yeah, because you won't see it coming.
Exactly. So that's why I don't do diss records, because, you know, I'm dissing you, but I don't know who else I just offended.
Because you know that there are consequences.
Right, this shit can go all the way left. I could be the nigga in Kroger with my kids.
Right, right.
Kroger. And your uncle walk up. I don't know your fucking uncle. I don't know I just dissed your uncle on them last 7 songs. I don't know about smoking my op pack that your uncle had to put you in the ground.
That's true.
They ready to go to war about that.
They sure are.
And you making light of it. It's funny to you. And that's what I'm saying.
It's so not a
that's,
game.
That's why I don't do it. And I try my best to encourage any person that's got a problem with me to bring it to me. Mm-hmm. And we can have, I truly believe in going our own way. You don't fuck with me. I don't fuck with you. That's great. Up until today, me and you ain't crossed paths. That means your life can still take place without me being in it. So I'm like, shit, if you don't fuck with me, I don't fuck with you good. You do what you're doing, I'm going to do what I'm doing. Ain't no need for it to go all the way south. We don't got to have an altercation because we don't get along. That don't even make sense. Every year around Christmas, Pepsi and Coca-Cola beef with each other beef with each other on their commercials. They Pepsi make a commercial, and the fucking Pepsi can got a cape on like he's super Pepsi. Coca make a commercial using the same thing and make the Pepsi. I'm sure everybody's seen he unzip it. He really a Coca-Cola. And no, are they beef out every year? They beef with each other, but at no point in time have you ever heard them say, "Oh man, the fucking Coca-Cola executive got gunned down by the Pepsi people."
Yeah, right. Yeah. But they're not being personal about it. That's the difference.
That's why they're not being personal, because it's not fucking personal.
It shouldn't. Well, I mean, it depends. Because they commingle in environments. That's the difference,
but
too,
that's,
right?
But that's
the
what
CEO
I'm saying.
The CEO of Pepsi and the CEO of Coca-Cola aren't partying in the same places, coming from the
sometimes
same neighborhood.
Sometimes they are. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And when they are, it don't turn into bullshit. Even if it's competitive, even if they could be arch enemies. The way they retaliate with each other is buying up ad space before you can get to it. Not pulling up to shoot your grandma's house up.
That's a cultural thing too.
That's what I'm saying. But me being aware of this, I try to do everything I can to avoid it.
Right.
Because I know how ignorant it can get. And in the streets, ain't no level here. Ain't no reason of reckoning. No voice of reckoning.
Especially nobody depending say, on the age. It comes with age too.
Sometimes that's the problem. Like the 50-year-old never knew no better way. So he taught the 20-year-old the same thing, and the 20-year-old's teaching the 10-year-old the same thing. They're growing up the same way. They all feel like you pose a smash on everybody for everything. And that really ain't how you live, unless you're trying to go in the ground or in prison. I know that's cliche. They tell us that all the time. You're going to be in jail or in the ground. But in real life, that's, you know, those are the two destinations.
That reminds me, I wanted to ask you, because the most recent project is Revenge of the Fallen.
Right.
And you dropped that in September. So what does that title mean exactly?
Well, it was a dedication to people who were peers or are peers, mm-hmm. that either didn't really have goals and never met their goals, or did have goals and didn't live long enough to reach their goals, or got goals right now and, you know, it's just taking a while for them to reach them. I call it the falling because sometimes it's how you feel. You feel like you know, not like music. You know, in music they say everybody fell off. If you take fucking 2 months off, you fell off. I don't mean in that aspect. Mm-hmm. But I mean in life. Sometimes in life you feel like you fell off. You feel like you're supposed to be further than you are. Or you had aspirations that when I turned 30, I would be this, this, and this. And I ain't even this. I ain't get the first one done. And in real life, you didn't fail because you didn't accomplish that. Sometimes shit take longer than it take. You know, you got fucking NBA teams that ain't never won a championship. And, you know, they're still teams. They still go out there and play. They play their heart out. And I wanted to give praise to people who haven't given up. And, you know, and at the same time, pay respect to the people that didn't make it far enough to accomplish what, you know, what it was that they wanted to accomplish. Like Dolph, for instance, like, you know, of course I wish Dolph would have lived a lot longer. And it just so the way I make music, whatever's happening in my world is going to come out while I'm recording. And me and Dolph were close friends. So while I was recording this album, his trial was going on. That's why the first song, it mentions Dolph, because I had to turn my phone off I had to like remove myself because it was fucking with me. But I was recording the first record while his trial was going on. So some of the things I was hearing in the trial was disturbing. I tried to, like I said, I tried to take what I've learned and express it or utilize it or implement it. And that's why you got records like No Risk, No Reward. Mm-hmm. And even with that, I'm not saying that, you're supposed to go and risk it all to get something. Because if you understand the table of risk and reward, you know that sometimes the risk outweighs the reward. And if so, it's not, the reward isn't worth it.
Right.
And I think, I felt like that was something people need to understand. You know, the whole objective is to go get paid. Yeah, you know, otherwise, how do we survive? But some of the things that you can do to go get paid, you probably shouldn't do to go get paid. And if that's what you decide to do, you need to understand that your reward was to pay, but your risk outweighed the reward, right? So if you got 30 years for it, right? But you knew that. You knew that the risk outweighed the reward. You just overlooked it because your reward glowed so better. Right. Yeah, and you know, that happens to most of us. There's a record on it. I'm very bad with the song titles because I make a new record every month.
Yeah, I see.
I think it's called Words of Encouragement or Encouraging mm-hmm. Words. One of the, I think it's Words of Encouragement. But in that record, I explain my outlook on every way you could go get paid. I tell you from the jump, I ain't never really had no job. I sold dope. But just because I sold dope don't mean that's the way to go. It's pros and cons. At some point, you're going to need money you can rely on. I got no fucking credit because all I did, you know, what I did didn't come with pay stubs.
Right.
So, you know, there's a pro and a con. At any moment, you can go to jail for that. And, you know, laws change every time they vote in new people. What could have got you 5 years last year might get you 25 years now.
Right.
Now they got fentanyl and shit. That shit could kill you.
Whole nother level.
Right. But, you know, I speak on that saying, you know, if that's what you do, you need to understand that there's pros and cons to it. If you work a 9-to-5, you need to understand there are pros and cons to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you work all week and you make sure you get up every day. You never took a day off. That does not mean that they won't fire your ass. That don't mean that if it's better for the company to hire college children now and get rid of all of the seniority, that they won't do it. They'll do what they have to do. Mm-hmm. And you'll wind up laid off and complaining, but that's the workforce. That, you know, this is what you signed up for.
Cycle of life.
Right. So you got to understand that that could happen. It's, mm-hmm. You know, you got to be prepared for this. And at the same token, I think at some point I speak about being self-employed. Same thing. Yeah, you your own boss, and that's a, you know, that's a feat. That's great. But at the same token, since you're your own boss, you got to wear all the hats. If you got to wear all the hats, then you know what you could. You knew that if you worked a 9-to-5, if you clock in, you get paid. Entrepreneurship don't work the same way. You are forever clocked in. Mm-hmm. And this month might be better than next month. But last month might be the worst. Right. It's a high possibility. And when shit hit the fan, it's really on you. You know, ain't no HR department. Nigga. You know.
When are you back in New York City?
Yeah, because I know you got to go. We had so much to touch on, but I know you got to go.
Man, listen, I never really know. But what we do, is we make sure, especially when it's, you know, of course we do a lot of these. And, you know, shit, y'all do this for a living, same as I do this end for a living. So, you know, sometimes when we're doing it, it's work. And sometimes when you're doing it, it's a pleasure. And whenever it's a pleasure for me, I make note of that. So,
definitely.
But that's what I'm saying. When it is, I value all of it. But when it's a mutual thing, if that makes sense.
Right.
Absolutely.
Whenever it's a mutual thing, that sticks to me. So when I make my next run, this is a stop I have to make.
Okay, good.
But I have to make it because it's a mutual. You have the same respect for me that I have for you. And that means everything to me, especially in this shit. You're going to see 20 more people in like the next week because they new artists pop up every 30 seconds.
They sure do.
So, you know, in this, you got to appreciate what you got while you got it. And, you know, we've all seen the artists that were popping. They were on top of the world last year. And right. This year, you're like, where are they now? A lot of times that happens because they didn't appreciate when the love was mutual. For them, you know,
that's
all
a fact.
All the shit was the same to them.
That's a fact.
And it's, you know, it's not to me. I think that's why I still exist, is because I know that this shit could go, you know, it could have went left a long time ago.
Right.
And you know, I'm proud that New York embraces me. Because, you know, coming from the South, that's, you know, it's not an easy, especially not having a cosign.
Right, right, right.
You know, I don't, you know, I didn't come up here with a, you know, with a label head. You know, I'm the person who represents me. And with that, you know, that let me know that everything I've obtained, all of the respect I've obtained, I got it on my own sleeve, and I ain't get it off somebody's coattail. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I said, next time we up here, you know, that's a stop we got to make.
No, please come back, because we got a lot more to talk about when you come back.
Indeed,
okay?
Indeed.
For sure. But thank you for pulling out.
Hey, right. Thank y'all for having me.
Oh, and first of all, I know you just dropped. Do you have anything else coming out that you want to plug?
Yeah, October's album is Yours Truly.
Okay.
I don't know which one of them cameras to look at, so I'm going to look at all three. That one? Okay. Yeah. October's album is Yours Truly. November's album, I Don't Know the Title of. And December's album, Don't Quite Know the Title of. But I plan on going 24 for 24. So far, this would be 22. So I got two more to do. And then 2025, I don't really like to show my hand, but 2020, I'm not retiring, I'll say that. Okay. I'm just getting started. I'm just cranking.
All right, well, you'll be back for either the 23rd, the 24th, the 25th, one of these.
I'm with it.
All right?
I'm with it.
Thank you.
Indeed.
Bye, everyone.